In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. As Abuna said, we will give introduction to the book of Revelation. Actually, this introduction is long, so maybe I'll cover just half of it today, and the other half maybe next week. Or if the time allows, maybe we'll finish it. It depends. So tonight, actually, we'll try to cover what are the characteristics of the book of Revelation, what is the theme and the purpose of the book of Revelation, also who are or who is the author, what is the date, who are the recipients, and the place of writings. Actually, let me start with just making a comparison between how the Holy Scripture starts and ends. The Holy Bible began with the book of Genesis, which actually started by proclaiming to us the endless love of God toward mankind. He prepared everything for us before He created us, and also He gave us authority upon the whole world and give the man and the woman much dignity. However, due to the deception of the serpent, we saw the disobedience of Adam and Eve and their fall. After their fall, they were expelled from the paradise, they were degraded, also they bore upon their shoulder the bitter crime of rebellion against God. Also, we can see how after the fall they became terrified, afraid to face God, to meet Him, and they are tried to escape from the divine justice. But God actually did not abandon us to the end, as we say in the divine liturgy, and He made a plan for our salvation. And the last book in the Bible, which is the book of Revelation, giving us a joyous picture, totally different from the picture that we saw in the book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis, we saw people are expelled from the Garden of Eden, but in the book of Revelation, we see open gate in heaven, an eternal paradise awaiting all of us. So this actually book is a book of joy, book of hope for every believer to hold it in their heart, to meditate upon, and actually to constantly read and repeat day and night. As I said, it is book of hope, victory, praise. It is a book of heaven. And God actually granted a special blessing to those who read or hear this book. Just reading it or hearing it, even without understanding it, because it is a prophetic book, but there is a special blessing. As we read in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. So, in the very, very first chapter, in verse 3, actually God promised blessing to those who hear and to those who read the word of the prophecy. This blessing is to those who obey, to keep, to believe what it is written in the book of Revelation. So how can we deprive ourselves from this blessing if we don't read this book or hear it? Sometimes we claim it is difficult, it's hard to understand, it's mysterious. Yes, it is difficult, it is hard to understand, it is a prophetic book, but there is a special blessing to those who read it and hear it. Actually, the book of Revelation, we can call it a book that reveals to us the love of God. It's a wonderful way to end up the story that started in the book of Genesis. So let me just do comparison between Genesis and Revelation. In Genesis, heaven and earth were created. In Revelation, we see a new heaven and a new earth, where man will find his eternal happiness in the bosom of the Lord as his beloved Father. In Genesis, sun and moon were created to enlighten us. In Revelation, we will not be in need of sun or moon, for Christ is the light of the new heaven, who shines on our inner man and illuminates our souls with his Holy Spirit. In Genesis, we find Garden of Eden, where man could eat fruit. In Revelation, there is a holy city where man will find his satisfaction in his dwelling with the Lord. Genesis shows us the marriage between our first parents, Adam and Eve, and how this marriage ended up by pain and troubles. In Revelation, there is another wedding. It is the joyful marriage supper of the second Adam, our Lord Jesus Christ, which will remain forever, and we are his bride. The church is the bride of Christ. In Genesis, we see the entry of the sin into the world. In Revelation, we see how sin is condemned and finished. In Genesis, we see the appearance of the great adversary, Satan, as a victorious conqueror. He defeated man. We also see sorrow, pain, tears. But in Revelation, we see the victory of man over Satan in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, whereas the devil falls down to his everlasting destiny and his kingdom is ruined. In Genesis, the curse is pronounced. In Revelation, there is eternal blessedness, no curse, no grief, no pain, no tears. In Genesis, death reigned over man. In Revelation, death no more exists. There is no more death. In Genesis, man became fugitive, running away from God. But in Revelation, man returning back, coming back to the bosom of God. Genesis declares to us the lost paradise, but Revelation shows to us how the paradise was regained on a greater heavenly scale. So, the book of Revelation is a book of love, but also this book reveals to us our journey. Revelation begins by describing the things of the time of St. John the Beloved, when he was the bishop of Asia Minor. And he started there and then described our journey throughout all the ages until the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation described the church at the time of John the Beloved and ends by showing us and describing to us the heaven and the eternal kingdom. Some scholars say that the first three chapters are from earth and the last two chapters are from heaven. From chapter 4, verse 20, the description of the journey of the church from earth to heaven with all its pain and persecution. So the first three chapters, the church on earth. From chapter 4 to chapter 19, this journey actually, or chapter 20, it is the church journey from earth to heaven. Then chapter 21 and 22, actually the church in heaven. So the church on earth, church on heaven, and our journey in between from chapter 4 to chapter 20. From chapter 4 to chapter 20. Also, the book of Revelation is written because God gave commandment to John the Beloved to write it. So this book was written as a commandment from God. At the beginning of the book, we see the Lord Jesus Christ asked St. John to write, as we read in Revelation chapter 1, verse 11, "What you see, write in a book." At the end, the Lord asked John not to add or to remove any word to the book. He said to John, "If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." Also, this book is called a prophetic book. Revelation is the last book in the New Testament, and it is only the prophetic scripture in the New Testament. It is not hard to see Revelation is very different from the rest of the New Testament, because it is the only prophetic book in the New Testament. The Gospels are just biography of the life of our Lord Jesus Christ and his ministry. The epistles are letters designed to guide individuals and churches to better life, to better live out the Christian life. And the book of Acts is the history of the early church. But the book of Revelation is a prophetic book. St. John clearly identifies his work as a prophecy, and he is viewed as a prophet. All the references are in front of you, so I will not read the references. Many have distorted the book of Revelation by changing its interpretation into a search for the details of future events and matters that we do not have to investigate. People try to figure out from the book of Revelation to predict when Christ will come, when the world will end. But this was not the intention of the message. God did not intend to give us this book in order to predict when his second coming. Because God actually told us clear, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has kept in his own authority. So we need actually to focus on the meaning of the book, not on the predictive nature of the prophecy, because it is not for us to predict when Christ will come or when the world will end. The basic message of our Lord Jesus Christ to us is to live according to the will of God. And if we live according to the will of God, then we should not worry about the future. And if we study the New Testament, you can find this is a recurring theme in the words and teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the will of God, your sanctification. So if we conduct our life according to his will, we will not worry about the future. Many scholars have demonstrated that the dominant emphasis in the prophetic writings is not on predicting the future, but on proclaiming the will of God. So any prophecy reveals to us the will of God, not for us to predict what will happen in the future. So the purpose of any prophetic writing is not to predict what will happen in the future, but to understand the will of God. That's why the book of Revelation should be used to guide us how to live properly between the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ. It's not about how to predict the future. And no one can comprehend or explain the book of Revelation entirely. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ asked St. John to write certain things and not to write other things. So the picture is not complete. So if the picture is not complete, then nobody can comprehend or explain or interpret the book of Revelation entirely. Also, it is not the work of one man or of one age. Probably, it will never be clearly understood until it is all fulfilled, until all the prophecies in the book of Revelation are fulfilled. Pope Dionysius of Alexandria said about this book, "Having formed an idea of it as a composition exceeding my capacity of understanding." So he's saying, this exceeded my capacity of understanding. "I regard it as containing a kind of hidden and wonderful intelligence on the several subjects which come under it. For though I cannot comprehend it, I still suspect that there is some deeper sense underlying the words." So under each word there is deeper sense. "And I do not measure or judge its expression by the standard of my own reason, but making more allowance for faith." So we need to read this book with faith. "I have simply regarded them too lofty for my comprehension, and I do not forthwith reject what I do not been able to discern its importance." So if something I cannot discern its importance or understand it well, I will not reject it. We cannot interpret every event. For example, Jehovah's Witness predicted the end of the world will be around 1914. The Adventist predicted the end of the world will be 1843. But of course, it never happened. The Lord Jesus Christ told us nation will rise against nation, and we hardly find a period in history in which nation were not rising against nation. There has always been war. There has always been killing and murder and deception and evil ever since the sin of Adam and Eve. And actually, as long as Satan, who is described as the father of lies and master of deceit, continues to deceive the people, there will always be evil here. When Christ comes again, the deception of Satan will be revealed fully. In the second coming, the deception of Satan will be revealed fully, and any power that mankind may give Satan will eternally be destroyed. Also, in the second and third centuries, there were so many twisted and amazing misinterpretations that the false teachings that arose caused great confusion to the Christian of that time. But we should know it is not for us to predict or to understand. This book is given to us not to predict the end of the world, but just to understand the will of God and how we live our life in a godly way. Also, this book is a symbolic book. It contains about 300 symbols. 300 symbols. Speaking with symbols indicates the fact mentioned here cannot be expressed or explained in human language. Because how we speak about heavenly matters in human language, that's why he used symbols. It is difficult to describe what eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. How can actually you use the letters of speech to explain and describe what eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered the heart of man? St. Paul himself, who wrote 14 letters and was considered one of the most important figures in the apostolic age and founded many churches in Asia Minor and Europe, could not describe what he saw in third heaven. He said how he was caught up into the paradise and heard inexpressible words which it is not lawful for man to utter. That's why the book of Revelation is symbolic. That's why St. John used human words, colors, numbers in an attempt to describe what he saw. Our church, the Catholic Church, tends to believe in understanding the meaning of these symbols rather than taking it literally. So we try to understand the meaning of the colors, the numbers, but we don't take, for example, numbers literally. And again, the purpose is not to know when is the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, or to know the details of the future events. The Lord said, "Of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." And he said, "It is not for you to know times or season which the Father has put in his own authority." Therefore, searching for these matters is against God's will. When we try to search and figure out, you know, when the second coming of Christ, this is against God's will. He asked us just to be ready, but not to figure out when he is coming. Saint Jerome said, wrote to Father Paulinus, Bishop of Nola, he said, "The secrets of the book of Revelation are as many as its words. Each word carries a secret inside it. And this is little compared to the high honor of this book. Even any commendation of it is considered little, because every word in it carries a lot of meanings. I praise what I understand and what I don't understand." Book of Revelation is also a book of hope. Book of hope. In it, you will see the door of heaven open, and you will realize that Jesus Christ, the Conqueror, is present in his church as a support in the middle of her pains. God in our midst support us during the pain and suffering and persecution of the church. This book provided the persecuted Christian a sense of hope that would encourage them to remain faithful to Christ, despite the fact that at any moment they could be put to death for the faith. Book of Revelation focuses on the ultimate triumph of the kingdom of God, and how the Christian, by remaining loyal and faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, will ultimately reap the rewards promised by Christ. Yes, they were challenged to remain hopeful and spiritually strong and to overcome state pressure, the pressure even from the government and state, the slander against Christian that was prevalent in the synagogues and false teachers. But this book also is not only a book of hope, but also a book of victory. St. John intended to show the continuous struggle between righteousness and evil, which ends with the victory of righteousness. In this book, we see God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, the angels and the righteous one, all occupied in their war against the devil, his demons and wickedness. And St. John in the book of Revelation saw the devil defeat and his fall from heaven. This was followed by great rejoicing. The book of Revelation concentrates on the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, who stood against evil. He conquered on the cross, and now he still conquers through his church by participating in his cross. As we read in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." So the secret of victory is the death of Christ and his blood given with love for our salvation. We bear witness to Christ by giving our lives and sharing his cross, which gives victory. For when we die with him all day long, as St. Paul said, we share his victory over Satan and his victory over our sins. The battle in reality is not between us and the devil, it's between God and the devil. So the war is not between us and the devil, but it is between God and the devil. But with our free will, we join one side at the expense of the other. The wicked people will be on the side of the devil, but the righteous will be on the side of God. So how we conquer, it's our Christ in us who actually help us to be victorious and conquer. Our Christ is the conquering hero inside us. This book also is a book of praise. It's full of praise. In it, we hear voices of praise and chanting. We learn the language of heaven, the language of love, and the language of continuous praise. What's interesting is that no strange hymns are heard, but once the hymns that are chanted in heaven are the same hymns that previously learned in the church, like the hymn of Moses and the hymn of the Lamb. You read Exodus 15, that's the hymn of Moses, that's the first host in the midnight praises. In Revelation chapter 15, the same hymn is chanted there. So the hymns that we chant here on earth will be the same hymns that we'll chant in heaven. Also, this book is the book of the final redemption. Final redemption. Some people see that this book includes two main cords. One is purple and the other golden. What do I mean? The first cord, the purple, is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the giver of salvation, where his sacrificial title, the Lamb, is repeated more than 25 times. In the book of Revelation, more than 25 times they referred to the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb. The second, the golden cord, is the second coming of Christ, the advent of Christ, to carry his church to his glorious, enjoying, angelic life and continuous praise. Gold is the royal color. Thus, the book gives us a lively picture of the fulfillment of the final redemption, where we see before the throne a multitude of believers who washed their clothes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, wearing white robes, carrying palm branches, enjoying the new city, the inexpressible heavenly Jerusalem. Also, in the book of Revelation, it is the book of the new altar. Before falling into sin, there was no altar. Man enjoyed the divine presence of God wherever he was. But after the fall and becoming under the burden of sin, he needed to meet the Lord through an altar, through blood of sacrifice, through the tabernacle. So the altar was a reconciliation place between God and us in the merit of the blood. But in heavenly Jerusalem, the Lord dwells with his people and in them. So actually, we become the altar, because there will be no altar in heaven. St. John did not see altar there, but he saw under the altar the souls of the martyrs, as if the martyrs became the altar, the Christians, the believers became the altar. In the book of Revelation, the people are considered an altar and a bride of Christ at the same time. So it is the book of heavenly worship, the altar and supper of eternal marriage. Also, a book of Revelation is a source of many of our rites, rituals, dogma, and services. We see in the book of Revelation the use of light and incense. That's why we use candles and incense. Praises we sing, like Holy God, Holy Mighty, like Thine is the power, the glory, the majesty. Kneeling during prayers, we see it in the book of Revelation. Standing in the church, we see it. White clerical clothing that the priests and deacons wear, we see it in the book of Revelation. The church rituals are actually a copy of what was described in Revelation. When you see the church in the divine liturgy, it is a copy for what St. John saw in the book of Revelation. And the best example is the celebration of the Bright Saturday, which actually is called the Night of Apocalypse. Apocalypse is the name of the book. Revelation means Apocalypse. After Good Friday's prayer and the burial of our Lord Jesus Christ, lights are turned on like the book of Revelation, candles are lit, the church is dressed in colors that befits Bright Saturday, and we read the whole book of Revelation and sing it. Also, in the book of Revelation, we read many, many descriptions about the Christian. So it's interesting to see how the Christians, the believers, are described in the book of Revelation. The most frequent name used for the believers is saints. Saints. He described the believers as saints several times. The references are in front of you. And also, the Christians, they are to live holy life in an unholy world. Disciples are also called the priests who serve God. Here we are speaking about the priesthood of laity, not the sacramental priesthood. Also, we are called God's people in this book. We are called the church. We are called his servants. We are called fellow servants. We are called brothers. We are called witnesses. We are called the bride of Christ. We are called the city. They are called the chosen, the faithful, the righteous. And many phrases and many verses describe the followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. Like, they are those who are keepers of the testimony of Jesus. They are the obedient. They are the hearers of the word of God. They are the watchers. They are the keepers, the fearers, the followers. And there are many commandments to us in the book of Revelation. For example, there is many commandments to repent to the believers, to remember, to do works and deeds, not to fear, to be faithful, to be watchful, to be strong, to obey, to hold fast, to be zealous, to leave evil behind, to rejoice, to praise, to hear. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. Hear means hear to obey what the Spirit says to the church. Moreover, believers are those whose names have been written in the book of life, those who have been purchased by the blood of the Lamb, those who have maintained their purity, those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb, and many promises to those who will overcome, as we read in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, chapter 15 and chapter 21. So there are many blessings to those who will overcome the evil. Also, the Revelation is linked to the Old Testament and the Old Testament symbolism. Although there is no single quote from the Old Testament books, but the book of Revelation is filled with references to events, symbols, and persons of the Old Testament. The most two prophecies that are linked to the book of Revelation are the prophecy of Daniel and Ezekiel. For example, prophecy of Ezekiel, and I will not read the references. The references are in front of you. The throne vision, the book opened and eaten, those slain under the altar, the seal on the saint's foreheads, the measuring of the temple, comparing Jerusalem to Sodom, the great harlot, the battle of Gog and Magog, the new Jerusalem, the river of life, and about the link between the book of Revelation and Daniel. The 3.5 time period, the 10 horns, the leopard, the bear, the lion, the beast mouthing, boasting, and blasphemies, the war against the saints, the worship of the beast's statue, the Son of Man coming on the glory cloud. All these actually are things that mentioned in Book of Daniel and Book of Revelation, Book of Ezekiel and Book of Revelation. Also, the Book of Exodus, we can see it in the Book of Revelation. The Book of Exodus concentrated in two facts: salvation through the blood of the Passover lamb and God living among his people. And actually, the Book of Revelation, we can call it, it is the symbolic Exodus, because reality through the cross, where Christ was sacrificed as our Passover lamb, and we became members of the household of God. This is very clear in the book of Revelation. And God lives within us, and we abide in him. As the book of Exodus explained how the people left Egypt to the promised land, Revelation is the book of complete exodus from the world to the heavenly Jerusalem, through a battle that extends across the ages and gets harder with time until reaching its peak during the time of Antichrist. I think that's enough for tonight. It is, I think it's heavy, so it's enough. And the rest we can complete it another time.